Regular viewers of The Tracey Ullman Show are familiar with the short animated cartoons featuring the Simpson family. The Simpsons were created by cartoonist Matt Groening. Groening also draws the syndicated cartoon strip Life in Hell, starring Binky, a rabbit with bulging eyes and an overbite. The Simpsons also have bulging eyes and overbites. They're about to star in their own weekly primetime cartoon series on the Fox Network. A preview Christmas special called Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire airs on Sunday. I asked Matt Groening if he would describe The Simpsons as an animated sitcom.
They're more like a hallucination of a sitcom, for me. Anyway, I'm so used to drawing my cartoons and not having them move that when I see these characters actually come to life and strangle each other and shout and yell and laugh and scream, it's like hallucinating, at least for me. And I hope that that experience will be the same for the rest of America.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with The Simpsons yet, describe the family for us.
It's a family of five. There's Homer Simpson, the father.
Ah, son, one day you're going to know the satisfaction of payday, receiving a big fat check for a job well done.
He works in a nuclear power plant. He's a technical supervisor. What that means is a little conveyor belt goes by and he flicks off rocks that aren't glowing. We're trying to endear ourselves to the nuclear power industry with this one. And his wife, Marge, who spends her time trying to keep Homer from strangling the kids.
All right, children, let me have those letters. I'll send them to Santa's workshop at the North Pole.
Oh, please. There's only one fat guy that brings us presents, and his name ain't Santa.
Then there's Bart, an anagram for brat. He's the sort of the center character of the series. He's sort of based on that, you know, that Diane Arbus photo of the little kid in Central Park, you know, grimacing and clutching a little toy gun in shorts. It's sort of based on him. But this woman, Nancy Cartwright, who plays the voice of Bart, made him into more of a hipster. He started saying, hey, man, and he just became more groovy, more beatnik-like.
Let's get this show on the road, man. We got things to do.
And then he's got a younger sister, Lisa, who's 8 years old and plays the baritone saxophone, can define words that the rest of the family is mystified by, is generally sensitive, intelligent, gifted, and as a result, completely ignored and misunderstood by the rest of her family.
Aside from the fact that he has the same frailties as all human beings, he's the only father I have. Therefore, he is my model of manhood, and my estimation of him will govern the prospects of my adult relationships.
And then the baby of the family is Maggie, who communicates strictly by sucking on her pacifier in varying rhythms, something like this.
That sounds a lot like it.
Yep.
Well, I remember the first interview we did. You were talking about how you thought of yourself as someone who really couldn't draw very well.
Right.
So now you're drawing your characters for animation, and there's other people helping to animate them, right? Because there's too much to draw every week. So you have all these probably like really talented artists who really know how to draw, and they're drawing your characters?
Well, it's been a real strange experience telling 50 men and women, all of whom can draw very well, to to make their drawings crummier in order to look like my stuff. It's kind of exhilarating, although, you know, when you walk away and you hear them muttering, you know, you can feel taken aback. And their caricatures of me at the animation studio are downright vicious.
So now that you have all these talented artists drawing your characters, do you ever worry that something of the edge will be lost in the characters because there's a smoothness that they could bring to the drawings?
It's been a real struggle to keep a certain
roughness.
Yeah, roughness and abruptness and jerkiness. Working on this show are animators from Hanna-Barbera and Disney and great virtuoso independent projects, and they all bring their own attitude and aesthetic philosophy to the project, and it's been a real struggle to make sure that everybody gets in line and has the same vision, or at least looking in the same direction. as an example, almost every animator today worships Tex Avery.
Tex Avery is one of the Looney Tunes guys.
One of the Looney Tunes guys did you know, he's the guy that had eyeballs popping out of wolves' heads and their tongues falling to the floor very exaggerated, very violent, really jazzy stuff, brilliant stuff. And that's not what we're trying to do in The Simpsons. Our cartoon effects are not beep, boing, chonk, you know, and all those kind of crazy effects that you've got imprinted on your brain. They're more realistic. And it's a slightly different kind of humor, and it takes a while to get the hang of.
Did you have to draw, I don't know if it's called a Bible or not, but did you have to draw what each of your characters look like from different angles and in motion so that the animators would know how the characters look?
Yes. Mike's stuff is basically, I see it two-dimensionally. It's very flat, and I draw my characters almost always from a three-quarter profile. And the animators had to come up with ways of showing them from straight on and from behind. Those are angles that I rarely, if ever, use in my own work. But even tougher than that was we created a 8-inch-high Bart head in clay for the Bart Simpson talking doll, which is due in your local toy stores if the show is a hit. And I'm really proud of this doll because he gets to say a number of outrageous things. The only thing the toy company wouldn't let me have him say is, I'm Bart Simpson, who the hell are you? They felt that was too much to come out of a kid's toy. They also wouldn't let him burp, which I was very disappointed by. But
so what,
maybe
what,
that in the next time.
What does he say?
My favorite thing is, kids in TV land, you're being duped. I had a lot of flack over that because they said kids aren't going to know what the word duped means. So I offered the substitute brainwashed, but they didn't go for that.
Your character Bart, and as you pointed out, it's an acronym for brat.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kinds of things you pulled when you were a kid that drove your parents crazy.
I got in trouble an awful lot in school as I was growing up. I had a strong sense of injustice, and if I felt I was being treated unfairly, I let those around me know it. You know, I may make light of the fact that I did stuff that got me in trouble, but I got in trouble for doing stuff that I should be rewarded for. I mean, I got in trouble for making comics. I got in trouble for, putting on little plays and stuff. All this creative stuff was completely squelched and ignored. I got mad one time and I dropped an encyclopedia out the window, okay? So, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Didn't land on anybody, did it?
No, it didn't, but they could have, and that's why I had to write the 1,000-word essay on why not to throw encyclopedias. In fact, I seem to have, I probably have in my files a whole sheaf of essays. I have why not to drop encyclopedias out the window, why I must remain quiet in class, and my favorite was why I must not throw rotten apples, because I did throw a rotten apple into the air, and it landed on a kid's head, and I got in trouble for it. So I had to write why not to throw rotten apples, and I got in further trouble for my essay because it was a single sentence in which I just said, well, you shouldn't throw a rotten apple because it might fly across the street and break the window of a grocery store, and the shards of glass might cut someone, and then the person might stagger out into the street, get hit by a car, which, trying to veer out of the way, runs over a neighborhood dog who gets taken to the hospital, and, you know, and on and on and on.
A lot of your cartoons seem to draw on childhood experiences or childhood feelings that you had. Do you think your memories of childhood are any more vivid than your average person's memories of childhood?
I think that if people think hard, they can recall the same kind of stuff I did. But I got to say, one difference between most people and me is, at the time, I had a feeling that something was terribly wrong, and so I took notes. I kept diaries when I was a kid, so I have a huge backlog of evidence to back me up in my ideas about kids' life. Also, a lot of humor about children is based on the idea that kids' traumas are cute and trivial and inconsequential. And, you know, the fact is, for kids, many of those little inconsequential traumas are not so inconsequential. They're actually great big deals, and they have no way of standing back from the conflicts in their lives. And in my stuff, I try to take those traumas and deal with them on their level.
You are a father now.
Yep.
Your baby will be 1 year old in March, I believe?
Yep.
So are you starting to see things now more from the parent's perspective than the kid perspective?
I've really painted myself into a corner. I've done all this stuff that, you know, positively takes the side of the kid, and now I'm on the other side. I'm a dad, but I'm not going to draw comics about my kid. I've tempted to, and people keep on saying, "Oh, we expect parenthood as hell." I don't think I want to give him any ammunition for his therapy 20 years from now.
For a Daddy Dearest book,
right? But you know, it's going to be fun. It is fun.
Well, I wish you a Merry Christmas special.
Happy holidays.